Dwayne will be talking on one of the most exciting promises in the Bible, and that's the promise of eternal life. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he not only changes your life today, but he promises you a home in heaven forever with the Lord. But before Pastor Wayne comes on to share with us, you're going to hear the story. We want you to hear the story of a father who received this gift from a most unlikely source. Take a look at this.
When I was 19 years old, I went on a trip, and we stayed with a family in Virginia. I was sleeping in one room, and their little girl came in. She was 3 years old. She brought in her play piano, put it on the floor next to my bed, and started playing and singing Jesus Loves Me. And I looked at that little girl and I thought, wow, this girl is young and she know who the guy Jesus is. You know, I didn't know. I said, wow, I wish I had one daughter like that. Wendy was born with gastroschisis. It's when your abdomen or your bowels are outside of your body, and her chest cavity didn't seal. I first saw Wendy when she was 10 days old. I was in OCCC, and Wendy was in Kapi'olani Hospital. It was the first time I was walking around in public in chains besides going to court, so it was a really odd feeling. When we entered the room, I seen her, and the only thing she didn't have anything on top was her leg. So I grabbed her right foot and I said, hi, baby, and she opened one eye, you know. She couldn't see, but she reacted to my voice because I used to talk to her, you know. And then I broke down. I just couldn't handle it. I thought, look what I did. And, Wendy fought for her life in the beginning. And I watched her grow up her first 3 years while I was in prison. But when I got out, something told me, which is the Lord told me, go down to New Hope and get involved. So I used to catch the bus and come down here and help out.
And it takes sometimes people going to prison and losing everything before they can gain back their life and identity.
Look what he's doing now. Even though he's a volunteer, he works every day. He's an administrator for the prison ministry.
Dennis was one of the first guys who came and started the ministry with us.
And as I hung around, I got to see miracles happen in this church.
I'm just so grateful to Dennis and how God changed his life and how God saved his life.
I think the only thing I can do is to help out and to help other people and let them know that you got hope.
Dennis is blessed to be given an angel in his life, his daughter, to help make that change in his life.
When Wendy was 3 years old, she came into my room with a piano, started hitting it and singing me, Jesus Loves Me. And I flashed back to that time when I wished that I had a daughter like that. And I said, wow, the Lord blessed me. And he heard me a long time ago. It's a whole different life than because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, you know, he traded his life for mine. Of my old life, and he gave me a new life, and he redeemed me.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star?
you. What a powerful, powerful testimony that is. Whew. We got to start selling New Hope Kleenex, I think. I'm tired already. Just watching it on the video in the back, and oh, man. Whew. What they didn't tell you was that her mom took her own life, and she's come through all of this, and to see her now, and the dad. So God is a great God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
I'm so glad. He gives us not only life, but life everlasting. You know, in Matthew 19, there was a young man that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to receive eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments." He said, "Well, what about them?" He said, "Keep them." "Well, which ones?" And he named a few of them. And the young man said, "I know all of those and I keep those." The Lord said, "One thing you have left. Get rid of what you have. You follow me. Lay down your life. Follow me." And the Bible says he couldn't do that because he owned much. And the Lord was saddened because of that. You know, I was thinking, I wonder that word, eternal life, we still ask that question today. And you can see that all around us, how people are wanting to have youth and just extend youth, extend life on this earth. I think ever since Ponce de Leon's search for the fountain of youth, we haven't stopped looking for eternal youth, eternal life, but maybe without God. We try it. We've got anti-aging pills. I think the most common of all is to extend, youth is oil of old age. And if that doesn't work, you know, you got Botox now. They actually squirt that into your wrinkles and takes wrinkles away. Last year alone, Pfizer, which is a drug manufacturing company, spent $71 million on a youth pill. And it was discontinued just for one small reason. It didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work, but that's okay. If it doesn't work for you and if you don't like the way you look, you might get chosen by ABC for an extreme makeover to make you look young. I mean, I watched that a couple of times and then the third time, and I thought, it's the same plot over and over again. They find someone that's very self-conscious, embarrassed about the way they look, and it's not always that bad, but they don't want to be teased, and they get chosen. So they choose a self-conscious person, embarrassed about their looks, and then you know what? They say, "We choose you, hooray!" What's the first thing they do? They make you pose in your underwear on national TV. You know, I thought, here's this embarrassed person already, and they make him pose. You know, now, so back to the drugs to combat aging. Recently, Pfizer reported that they made $26 billion of sales on their drugs last year. $26 billion. I mean, not million, $26 billion on their drugs. And if you figure it this way, 1 million seconds, if I say to you, "I'll see you in a million seconds," that means I'll see you in about 12 days. If I said, "I'll see you in a billion seconds," that means I'll see you in 33 years. They made $26 billion on drugs, and most of them were targeted towards the aging population who want to stay eternally young and eternally healthy. On one, just one pill alone, Lipitor, they made over $1 billion. That's to keep your cholesterol down. And if that doesn't work and you're depressed, they have one called Zoloft, another $1 billion made on that. That's an antidepressant pill. And if that doesn't work, the blockbuster drug of all, Pfizer put out $3 billion, Viagra. And I don't know what that does. But it's all targeted towards an aging population that wants to stay eternally young. And then you got pills to help your memory. You know, you got sea silver, HGH, bee pollen, blue green algae, a couple more, but I can't remember. And all of that. You know, we're all losing our memory. I'm reminded of these three Portuguese ladies. They're all called Mary, you know? And these three women, they're all complaining about memory loss. And this one, first one, she says, I find myself at the refrigerator with a jar of pickled mangoes and in my hand. And when I'm standing in front of the refrigerator, she says, I cannot remember if I'm taking that jar out or putting it in. The second Mary said, that's not as bad as my memory loss. I find myself on the landing of the stairs and I can't remember if I was going up the stairs or down. And the third one proudly states, she says, oh, I'm so glad I don't have any of those memory problems. Knock on wood. And she raps on the table and then she says, whoop, I think someone's at the door. I'll be right back. We're all aging. All of us. I'm going to give you a test of age. So now, I'm going to give you 10 things. Now, if you remember these things, it'll tell you how old you really are, okay? Okay, here they are. There are 10 things now. Here it is. Just remember. Do you remember, just keep it on your fingers now. Don't say anything. Do you remember candy cigarettes? And then wax Coke-shaped bottles with colored sugar water inside. If you remember party lines in Hawaii. 45 RPM records. SNH green stamps. Aluminum ice cube trays with levers on it. Wash tubs with ringer rollers. Roller skate keys. Soda machines that open from the top and dispense bottles that hung in metal racks. And then home milk delivery with cardboard stoppers on it. Okay. Now, if you remember like under five, then you're probably under five. If you remember under eight, then you're still wet behind the ears. But if you remember 9 or 10 of those, you're older than dirt. I was reading something. I love this. Listen to this. It says, you're getting old when, and then it says this, you're getting old when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. I like this one. You know you're getting old when your beauty marks start sprouting hairs. And you know you're really old when you don't cut them. You know you're getting old when you sit in a rocking chair, but you can't make it go. You know you're getting old when people call you at 8 p.m. at night and they immediately apologize by saying, oops, did I wake you? And then finally, you know you're getting old when you find that you got more hair in your ears than on your head. Oh, boy. Well, I want you to know that the Bible does have a lot to say about life. Really does. And we want to take a look at what it says today. And let's take a look at the top of our notes. John 10:10, the second part of that. It says, a thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But, and let's read it together, go. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The Bible has a lot to say about life and about abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. And this thing called eternal life, here's what I want you to catch today. Eternal life that God gives to his people is not something that starts after you die. Eternal life is a quality of life that begins when you receive him as Lord and Savior. It's not only a quantity of life, but it's also a quality of life. And would you write that in? Jesus promises us a quality as well as a quantity of life. And that's eternal life. It doesn't start just when I die. Eternal life, or that which has that eternal spark to it, begins when I say yes to Jesus Christ's invitation. When he said, I have paid the price of death in order that you might receive life and that you might receive it more abundantly. Life forever and life in quality while you're here yet on the earth. That is what I have come to give you. See, he promises both a quality as well as a quantity of life. Let's read what Titus 1 and verse 2 says. Go. the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. First of all, I want us to recognize who it is that stands behind the promise. The hope of eternal life, which what? God, would you circle the word God, and then underline who cannot lie, and then circle promised long ago. See, God who cannot lie. That's that quality of life. And sometimes we think, well, you know, as a Christian, yeah, you have a quantity of life that happens after you die, but until then, you have to live this rude, ascetic, severe, bare bones lifestyle filled with suffering, some Hinduistic kind of lifestyle that endures suffering and lives in poverty to prove holiness. And the Lord said, no, wait a minute. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It's a quality as well as a quantity of life. That God wants us to be people, oh no, not squandering with opulence, but people who have a sense of fruitfulness in their relationships, in their marriages, in their lifestyles. There's a fruitful wholeness that takes place. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. John 15:18, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. God wants us to have a fruitful life. It's a quality of life as well as a quantity, filled with life in our families and our relationships. Now, not everybody thinks that way. They think that eternal life happens after you die, but until then, you got to be rough cut. You just got to be severe. I received a letter just last week. This is just last week now. And about someone who saw me in one of my trips recently. And because I speak a great deal when I travel, I mean, when I hit ground, I skid right into an auditorium and start speaking. And this last trip, I went to the mainland, I spoke 15 times in 3 days. So they just nail you, you know, and then you get back on the plane and, oh, and I've got to come back here, and then we start again. And so because I've racked up a whole bunch of frequent flyer miles, I can bump myself up to business class so at least I can sleep so that when I get there, I'm not, you know, insane when I hit ground or fatigued and then I have to try and speak and then come back. So I have enough. And so I get bumped up. Now this guy saw me in up front, and I was going, in fact, this last trip. And so he writes me this letter. Now, listen to how some figure the way, you know, this quality of life should be austere. It should be ascetic. It should be severe. It should be tough and rude. Then you're holy. This is just last week. Dear Pastor Wayne, I saw you in the first class section of our aircraft recently. I think that if you were a true Christian and being a pastor to boot, shouldn't you have given your first class ticket to someone who rode in coach, perhaps a senior citizen on their way to Hawaii just before they died? I find your hypocrisy most disturbing. Would Jesus fly first class? He'd have his own plane. He don't need a plane. I went to Catholic school all my life. However, the hypocrisy of the Christian church has turned me off to organized religion. How could you preach the gospel standing behind huge koa pulpits? A true Christian church would have people sitting on benches, and you would be preaching from behind a wooden crate. This is true. I'm not making this up. So if being a preacher is just a job for you, maybe you should try answering the following and let that lead your actions. What would Jesus do? And I thought, wow, man, this is a doozy. I kept this one. This one's amazing. And I was surprised that he even signed his name. He had the guts to sign his name. I kind of recognize his name. You might too, as a bitter person, I'm sure. It was signed Elwin Ahu. No, this is a real letter I got last week. And so, you know, I take the time to just smile and write him back a gracious note. But it was amazing because some people think that Jesus came that you would have life in all of its rudeness, life in all of its severity, life in all of its suffering. Then and only then will you be truly holy. And you know, one of the things I wrote to him, I said, you know, Jesus does not necessarily take delight in us being poor and severely handicapped, because if all Christians were extremely poor, we couldn't help poor people, could we? Because we would be poor. And we would need people to help us. So the Lord says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You don't want to misinterpret this thing about eternal life. God says, I want to give you life everlasting. No, not an opulent, squandered, lavish lifestyle that wastes all of his resources. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But he is saying a depth, a fruitfulness, a sense of wholeness, a sense of purity, a sense of relationships that are healthy. I want you to have that kind of life, because that's a part of eternal life. Not only life everlasting, but life abundantly. And that's what he came to give. And we want to make sure that we catch that. Now, speaking of life everlasting, yes, definitely. In fact, God gives us, and he wants us to have, would you write in your next note there, Jesus gives us an assurance, or promises us an assurance of everlasting life. That, he says, I want you to get that settled. Once you come to know me as your Lord and Savior, and you say, yes, it is by my performance on the cross, not by your daily behavior, that gives you entry into eternity. It is by my sacrifice on the cross, not by yours. Because you can't be the Messiah and you can't pay for eternal life. It doesn't matter how monkish your life becomes and how many caves you live in and how much you forego. No, you will never be worthy of eternal life save for his work on the cross. How many of you are glad for what Jesus did? Not us. So he gives us an assurance of eternal life. Let's read 1 John 5:13. Go. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? So that you may know that you have eternal life. Would you underline that last phrase? So that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know for sure. No, not that presume that you have eternal life or hope or have fingers crossed. He says, I will give you an assurance, a confidence. And remember, the Lord says, I am the one who stands behind that promise, a God who cannot lie. That's that promise. And when God says to you, I give to you a promise of everlasting life, you know what he's saying now? Now that you have an assurance of that, you don't have to worry about it. Now, get on with being fruitful now, because that's sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered by what I did on the cross, not by what you do on this earth. And so that's settled. Now, let's get on with understanding what it means to be an ambassador for Christ while we're here on the spinning globe. That's what we're looking for. God is saying, I've taken care of that. I've taken care of that. And that's why we want to make sure that we are living with that sense of confidence. I remember some time ago when we were playing soccer. And we were at a championship match, and we were playing this Mexican team in Hilo, and this was the championship one, and they are really good. They're fast, and I thought, oh, man, we're going to get killed, and this is a championship game. And so we showed up, and we're kind of nervously practicing, and this Mexican team's supposed to come over from Kona on the other side, and this is for the Big Island Championships, And so it was on a Sunday afternoon about 3 o'clock, and so we're kind of kicking around waiting for them, and we see a couple of them show up, and another one show up, and then the Mexican flag, and oh, no, and they start showing up. Well, the time for the game starts, and they only have 6 players that showed up. So the referee calls us together and says, we'll give you a 15-minute amount of time, because you have to have, you know, at least 8 players, so we'll give you a little bit more time, and if not, he says to the Mexican team captain, you'll have to forfeit. So he said, okay, senor, they will be here. And so we go back to practicing, and I go back to praying, Lord, may it not be. May it not be. Keep them away, Lord. Keep them away. Block roads. Bring in floods. Floods. Anything. You know? And so 15 minutes go by, and they don't show up. So the referee calls us back together and says, I'm sorry, to the Mexican team. And he said, you guys will have to forfeit because you don't have enough players. I said, yes, yes, I said, yes. And so he said, okay, Senor, sorry. Yep, you forfeit. So you guys win. All right. So, all right, we're the champions. You know, we're excited. And then the Mexican team player said, hey, since we're just here already, we only have six players, let's just kind of mix up and play a practice game. We'll pull a few more people on our six, and we'll make 11, and we'll play you guys. So I said, well, wait a minute now. I said, now that we're already champions, right? We won. This is it. See, this is just a game. Okay, so we already won, so this is just practice. So, like, it doesn't count. See, don't worry. You win. You're the champions. I said, all right. So you know what? We gave them some players to fill out their teams, our worst players. And and then we played. And it was a practice game. You know, it's funny. Because we knew that we had won, it was done. It was like the nervousness was out. We played so good. And we were relaxed. We had fun. You know, and when someone would make a mistake, it's all right. And someone fouled, oh, I'm sorry. Because it was, you know, it was like we already won. Have you ever seen winners after a game? They're hugging each other. And when someone says, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I missed that. That's a scoring opportunity. If you already won, you say, it's all right. We win. But if you watch losers, it's a whole different thing, isn't that right? You should have made that basket when you had that chance. What's the matter with you? Your fault that we lost. Yo. You know, when they walk. Losers are so different than winners. You know what God is saying? Read the end of the book. You win. I have given to you the keys. I have the keys of life and death. And when we come to know Christ, you win. So the Lord is saying, I give you an assurance of everlasting life. Now, let's get on with life today. You understand what he's saying? Because you have the assurance of eternal life, do you understand how much it should affect our day-to-day living? Sometimes we forget that we're a people of the eternal promise. We win. I remember when my kids, Amy was like 3 years old, Aaron was two, it was about five and three, somewhere around there, but they were young kids, and they were playing in this gravel pit right in front of our house, and Aaron had his trucks, Amy had her, I can't remember, and so they were playing, and they were kind of making roads. Now, one of the things about Hilo, you got to know, is that it has about 120 inches of rain a year, so it's a major rain center of the world. And so sometimes we get a little tired of the rain. I tell the kids, hey, we're going to go to Kona tomorrow to Hapuna Beach. And, oh, they'd be all excited because they finally see sun, you know. And so they're all excited. Well, I had told the kids, hey, we're going to go to Kona tomorrow. Oh, they're so excited. They were jumping around. So they went out in the gravel pit and were playing. And I noticed that Amy took one of Aaron's trucks, and she was constructing new roadways and overpasses. And Aaron was looking for his truck. And when he noticed that Amy was improving the roadways with his truck, you know, and he said, hey, that's my truck. Amy said, just cool it. Hey, that's my truck. Give me that truck. And I'm listening to him because it's right outside the front window of the living room. I'm reading the newspaper, and I'm listening to him. And Amy said, just cool it. Aaron said, you give me back my truck. And Amy, I heard Amy say, Aaron, cool down. Tomorrow, we're going to Kona. And Aaron said, oh, yeah, okay. It's like she was saying, hey, don't, just chill out, man. Kona's coming. And it's like the Lord has to remind me often, Wayne, you're going to heaven. It's set. Now, that should influence you today. Do you understand the promise of eternal life? It's not just the hereafter I die. It affects our lives in the here and now. That's a people of eternal life. Oh, the Lord gives that to us and says, here it is. This is for you. Now, I want us to read John 20. And let's read what it says here. Go. Therefore, many other signs which Jesus also performed, which are not written in this book. But these have been written. Why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Listen. And believing, you may have life in his name. Yeah. You know what the Lord is saying? The Bible could have been a scientific book to tell you about dinosaurs, Cro-Magnon man, and all of these other things, and the carbon record and dating processes and what happened at this time and in in the history and a million years ago and all of the whatever. But if it were a book on science, do you know how big that book would have to be? If it were just a book that tells you every miracle that Jesus did in his lifetime and all the things he said, is, you know how large it's going to be? But it says this in John. He had done many more miracles, but these have been written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and through believing you would have life in his name. What it's saying is this. The Bible is a book of eternal life. There's enough written there in order for you to receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. It is enough for us to believe. And how do you tap into this being a person of eternal life? That not only do we have the assurance of forever, but it affects the quality of our living today. Would you write in number one? Would you write down, he invites us to believe. Because the Bible is enough to believe unto eternal life. Oh, it's not meant to be a science book. It's enough so that we can believe unto eternal life. So that we can understand that we must be born again. Let's read John 3:3. Go. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In John 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." You see, the Bible is enough for us to be born again or to believe into everlasting life. And so the Lord puts that word out there and says, will you believe? Will you believe? You have to be willing to get rid of the old and become a citizen of heaven. How do you do that? Let's say that the United States gave a new law that said the only way you can be a citizen of the United States of America is if you were born in the USA. Anyone that is immigrated in must now leave. Only those who were born here can be citizens. Well, all of a sudden, these immigrants who had lived here for many years would have to leave, and they would say, but I love the U.S. I want to be a citizen of the U.S. Sorry. The only way is you got to be born in the USA. Yeah, but I haven't. I'm already born, and I want to be a citizen. Sorry, you have to leave, and you have to be outside. Then how can I get in? Can I immigrate again? Nope, you just got to be born. But I'm already born. I'm already alive. Well, I'm sorry. The only way you can be a citizen, sir, is if you're born in the USA. But I'm not born in the USA, but I want to live there. Sorry. Well, what do I have to do? You got to be born in the USA. I'm already born. I know, that's a problem, huh? Well, what do I have to do? You got to, like, I don't know. You're already born. Well, what do you mean? I have to, like, die? And then be in a womb? And then be carried? And then born again? Yeah, sort of like that. That's impossible. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Jesus enters and says, I will die for you. And then through me, you can be born again as a citizen of the kingdom of God. But it's only through me that this which is impossible for man can only be made possible through, not anti-aging pills, not through whatever Pfizer does. It's only through Jesus Christ. And that is why the only way to be born again is through the miracle-working power, the death and resurrection, and the invitation of Jesus Christ. Then we can be born again and become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so how do you do that? The Lord invites us to believe. And that word to believe means to trust in, to rely upon, to depend completely upon. And that's where Jesus comes in, where we say, Lord, I believe in you, and I choose to place my life in your hands. I did that when I was 19 years old, changed my life. The only regret is I wish I would have done that sooner. But since then, it's absolutely transformed my life. And if you've never made that decision to give your life, to rely upon, depend upon, rest completely in Jesus Christ that you might be born again, do it. Do it. And if you have, then would you write in number two? He invites us then to a quality of life. A quality of life by knowing Jesus more and more. You see, when you become a person of eternal life, it starts right then. And there's a quality of life that Jesus wants us to begin to enjoy. Let's read this. Go. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The Lord is saying, I want you to know me more and more. And the more I get to know Christ, the more I become the person he wants me to be. There's a sort of a transformation that takes place. Because if you're born again, that's great. But the Lord says that I want you to stay on the delivery table. I need you to know more and more about me so that in doing so, you'll become more and more like me. Let's read the next scripture out of 2 Peter. Go. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. The Bible is saying his power is going to grant you everything. Would you underline that word? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. If you're a mother, a businessman, a farmer, an industrial person, a CEO, someone in the legislature, whatever it might be, the Lord says, I will give you everything, everything pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of him who called you by his own glory and excellence. In other words, you want to be a better mom, get to know Jesus more. You want to be a better dad, get to know Jesus more. You want to be a great and successful businessman, get to know Jesus more. Did you know that the Bible is the best business book in the world? It gives you ethics. It gives you business strategy. It gives you people skills, everything that you need pertaining to life and godliness. He's given it all through the true knowledge of him who has called you by his own glory and excellence. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you start to enjoy this thing called the abundant life. And he's saying, I will give you commandments. I will give you instructions so that you will walk into my best for you. It's called commandments. And when God says, keep my commandments, you know what he's saying? He's saying, follow the instructions because I know how to get you to where you need to be. But if you break the laws and break the commandments, then it will cause you to slide and to skid. Keep the commandments. That'll give you the strength to possess the promises that I have for you. And he says that in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's read it. Go. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross and possess it. So the Lord is saying, I know that you're going to go into a marriage. Keep my commandments. I know that you're going to go into a leadership position in your business or in government. Keep my commandments. I know that I've called you to influence this community. Therefore, keep my commandments. I know that you're going to be a mom. You're going to influence that daughter or that son. Therefore, keep my commandments. Why? So that you can do exactly what I've called you to do. And if you shortcut it and mess it up, then you're only eating up your own future. So be sure to keep every commandment that I give to you. Why? Because I love you and I know the future. And so God invites us to walk with him. And the more you get to know him, not only does he give you a quality of life, but would you write in number three, it adds an eternal ring to our earthly assignment. There's an eternal ring that comes. It's not just a temporal thing. It's an eternal ring. There's just a touch of eternity. Let's read Philippians 3:20. This is what happens when you're born again. Go. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord is saying that we are citizens of where? Of heaven, because we've been born again. You've been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6 says. 1 Peter 2 says, we're a people after God's own possession. When it says that you're a people after God's own possession, it's a Greek word that says, it means in and around. That means in, you're in, God is around, nothing touches my life unless it goes across the desk of God. And he says, okay. Nothing will touch your life. God knows about it. Well, does that mean it'll all be nice and smooth and peaches and cream? No. The same thing that happened to him will happen to us. We will have to go through all of these things. But God says, I know, and I will give you a way of escape. You'll be able to handle it because I'm going to walk with you through the valleys of the shadow of death. And so I will make sure that nothing touches your life, Wayne, unless I know about it and I say, okay. And when you go through it, I'll walk with you through it. And you know what? When you walk with me, even in the tough trials, there's going to be an eternal spark about your life. There's going to be people that will watch you even go through suffering times and trials. And who knows the lives that will be affected. Because you see, you are not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. You're a citizen of heaven. And God is going to put an eternal touch on your life. And as you follow him and follow his ways, there's going to be people watching you. And they're going to say, wow, I need to be like that. I'm a pretty bitter guy, and I see how that person responds. Boy, that's what I need. Little do you know how eternal your life will be in influencing others around you. It may be while you're changing diapers. Little do you know that that young lady is going to become someone greatly used of God. Don't be so quick to leave. Some of the people that have influenced my life the most have not been these great, notable people. Oh, they may have impressed my life, and they may have indeed inspired my life, but the ones that have influenced my life are those that are servants, those that I watch that have a humble family, and they have a faithful dad and a faithful mom, and I've watched them for 20, 30 years. And when it's done, I say, that's the kind of life I want to live. When it's all done and said, and the glittering has tarnished, and all the sparkles faded, that's the kind of heart that I want to have. Because that's the kind of heart that lasts. Little does that man know the eternal influence, the ring of eternity that's on his life, and how many people he will actually impact. You see, when you give your life to Christ, there's an eternal ring that comes about. Let me conclude with a story of a man who had an eternal ring on his life. His name was Fleming. He was a poor but God-fearing Scottish farmer. One day, he heard a cry for help coming from a nearby bog, this muddy area. So he dropped his farm tools and ran to the bog, and there mired in this black mud was this terrified boy, screaming and struggling to free himself. Farmer Fleming saved this lad from what could have been a slow and terrifying death. Well, the next day, a fancy carriage pulled up to the farm, and a very elegant nobleman stepped out and introduced himself as the father of the boy that you saved. He said, I want to repay you, the nobleman said. You saved my son's life. The farmer, Fleming, said, I can't do that. I can't accept payment for what I did. The Lord would expect nothing less except for me to help anyone in trouble. Just then, the farmer's own son came to the door. Is that your son? The nobleman said. Yes, the farmer replied proudly. The nobleman said, then I'll make you a deal. Let me provide for your son the level of education that my own son will enjoy. Because I know that if this lad, your son, becomes anything like his father, he'll no doubt grow to be a great man that we'll both be proud of. And he did. Farmer Fleming's son attended the very best schools in that time. And he graduated from St. Mary's Medical School in London and became known throughout the world as the noted Sir Alexander Fleming. He's the one that discovered penicillin. Years afterward, the same nobleman's son who had grown up, the one that was saved from the bog, well, he was stricken with pneumonia. And guess what saved his life? Penicillin. The name of that nobleman? Lord Randolph Churchill. His son's name? Sir Winston Churchill. And you look at that and you think, you know, there's an eternal touch on people's lives. When we live the abundant life the way the Lord would have us to live it, God says, I will use you
beyond what you'll ever realize. There will be an eternal ring to your life. Oh, not just that which takes place after death, but what will influence life before death. Coincidence? Eternal touch. I'll tell you a story of a missionary to Japan. She went to Japan 25 years in ministry in Japan. Converts? One. 25 years. And the problem was, it wasn't even a Japanese person that came to know the Lord under her ministry. It was a South Korean. After 25 years, she was sort of discouraged, went back to the mainland. The South Korean went back to Korea. But he was so in love with the Lord, he started a Bible college. And the first graduate from his Bible college, a man named David Yonggi Cho, pastors the largest church in the world today. Coincidence? Eternal touch. Do you understand? That's what God wants to do. He gives us the promise of everlasting or eternal life. And as you believe in Him and give your life to Him, then God puts an eternal touch on your life, gives you the assurance of everlasting life. And He says, now let's work on the quality of life. And because you've been bought with a price, I will use you for my purposes. And even through the wrestling of trials at home, even though you go through stuff, follow His commandments, because little do you know the lives that will be touched for an eternity by your endurance, your forgiveness, your care, your serving unselfishly. And you know what? You may never know the impact of your life until we see Him in eternity. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you.
Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude? We're going to conclude with a song called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And because God gives us the assurance that this is my story, this is my song. But with your heads bowed, if you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I've never received Christ before. Man, I need to do that. I need to have that assurance that I have eternal life. And I want to make sure that I nail it down today. I want to say yes and believe in Him and then get to know Him more and more so that the eternal life is taken care of. Now I want to work on getting to know Jesus so that everything pertaining to life and godliness will be granted to me through the true knowledge of Him. And there comes an eternal ring on my life as I obey Him day to day, even though it might seem like just the mundane of everyday living. As I follow His leading, there will be an eternal touch and an impact on lives far beyond what I can see. That's the way I want to live. But I know it starts with me being born again. I need to receive His forgiveness, and I really want to walk with Him. If that's you and you want to make that decision, would you raise a hand right now and say, Lord, would you see my heart? Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, you too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. On the sides. Yeah. Okay. In the back. Yeah. Raise your hands again so I can see it in the back. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. The Lord sees that as well. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, Lord, I know You as Lord and Savior, but boy, I sometimes forget that I'm a person of eternal life. And I know that, like, it happens after I die, but Lord, would You help me to develop the quality of that eternal life in the here and now, that I might represent You well? I really want to have that eternal ring on my life. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, Lord, yeah, that's me, yeah. Would you reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you? If this is the first time you've received Christ, please stop at the Yes table outside, and they have a packet for you, and receive that. And it's right outside. Just say, I said yes to Christ, and it's free of charge. They just want to give that to you. And also, there's a Growing Deep, Growing Strong for those of you that have yet to become members at New Hope. If this is your home church, ask them, when's the next Growing Deep, Growing Strong course? And jump into that. But let's all pray this prayer right now, and then we'll sing that wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, I open my heart to say yes to Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and change me. Forgive me of my sins and make me the person you want me to be. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, we want to say thank you now for the promise of eternal life and the assurance of everlasting life, to be with you forever. Lord, once that's settled, now help us to live the quality of life that you promise us as we walk with you after your commandments. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank him with a clap offering, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Give someone a hug on your way out, would you?